Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my seventh program on living in the balance of grace and faith. I talked about this all last week and then yesterday, and basically what I did was introduce this from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And I've been talking about that you aren't saved by grace alone, and you aren't saved by faith. Sometimes we will say we're saved by grace or faith to emphasize one thing, but technically, you aren't saved by either one individually. You're saved by a combination of the two. Grace is what God does. Faith is what we do. You can't save yourself, and God didn't save you without your response. You need to understand what is God's part and what is your part. And this is where so many people are missing it. And what I did basically was emphasize all last week that if you emphasize grace and just talk about that it's all up to God, you can get into a ditch. You can go into error and get to where you have this fatalistic attitude to where it's just up to God. Whatever God wills comes to pass. That is not true. God is not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And yet they don't, because not everybody responds in faith. So I could go back and reteach all of that, because that is so important and most people do not understand that. Today I want to begin to start talking about the other extreme. There are some people that basically take everything upon themselves and they preach faith to such a degree that it's up to you to produce everything. I've already used a couple of examples. I won't go back into great detail, but I talked about the way most people pray and intercede for a person or for a revival. They think that God is up there just waiting on us, and if we would repent and if we will do this and if we can get enough people praying together, we can make God do something by our faith. And there's a lot of people that have just seen that there is a truth that we have to work, we have to labor, we have to seek God. Things seem to work better for people who are seeking God than people that don't seek God. And so they see that and they think, well, it's because you did this. You made this happen. No, God is the one who accomplishes it, but it does take some cooperation on our part. But if you leave out the emphasis on it's God's power and just only emphasize what you must do, well, then it makes people legalistic. It makes them bear the burden of everything. And that's a burden that nobody can bear. All of us are going to fail. All of us are going to come short. And if you don't understand the grace of God, if all you've done is emphasize what you must do, and if you're trying to live the perfect Christian life, it's going to lead you to frustration, and it's going to cause condemnation and guilt inside of you. And I tell you, I've seen this many, many, many times. And actually, I don't know how to segue into this, but another point is that it causes arrogance in people who think that everything is happening because of what they have done. You know, I don't have the words really to put this into its proper context. But I believe that, you know, there are things that I had to do. I'm not going to take this whole program and give you my whole life history, but let me just quickly say that Jamie and I came from nothing. We came from extreme poverty. We would go days and weeks without eating. And now God has blessed us. And for me, just to say, well, it's all the grace of God, that's not really true. It is God. God has done it. But there are things that we had to do. I had to change some of the thinking. I had to make some adjustments. I had some things on the inside of me, a prejudice against prosperity. I was taught that for a minister to prosper is ungodly, that it's actually godly for you to be poor. And I had some wrong thinking that was hindering me from prospering. And God had to work some things out. And I've changed and I've started believing different and talking differently. And there's things I've done. If a person came to me and said, you know, how do we begin to start seeing some of these things? And, you know, it takes us like $2 million a month to pay our bills. And I give all of my stuff away. And people said, how do you do this? Well, there's things that I've done. God has taught me how to do things. But if I was to say, well, I have done this and I can make this happen, that would be arrogance on my part. There's things that I've done. There's things that God has taught me. But I guarantee you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if God hadn't have been good to me, if God hadn't have been patient with me, if He hadn't have provided these things for me through Jesus, it didn't matter what I would have done, it wouldn't have come to pass. It is the grace of God, but it's not God's grace alone, because God is gracious to every person. God wants to see every one of you succeed. God wants every one of you to be well and prosperous and have a good marriage. Jamie and I have a good marriage. And I say, yes, it's the grace of God. But you know what? It's not only the grace of God. I've had to turn the other cheek sometimes when Jamie's done things that offended me. She's had to turn the other cheek when I haven't lived right. We've had to cooperate. This is the point I'm trying to get across. It's not grace alone. It's not faith alone. And if you think that it's your faith that's done everything, that would be as arrogant as me thinking that I've made all of these things happen. That's not true. You know, I haven't got time to go back to this, but I taught this in the parliament in Uganda to the parliament. And I took Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most powerful men on the earth that ever lived, he was the strongest ruler of his day. He had conquered nearly the known world. And he stood on his balcony and looked at all of the hanging gardens of Babylon and all of his wealth and all of the things that he had accomplished. And God had warned him, you know, that he needed to break off his sins through living right and humble himself and recognize that God was the source of everything. But he ignored it. He stood there. He saw all of his things and he says, look what my might and power has done. And the moment he said it, a voice from heaven came and said, it is spoken. Your kingdom is taken from you. And he went out, and for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lived like an animal. His hair grew as long as an animal out in the field. He didn't wear clothes. His fingernails became claws. He ate grass like a cow. And his wife, this is in secular history, all the rest of this is in the Bible, but in secular history it says that his wife, because of the prophecy that Daniel gave him about this, his wife believed it. She kept the kingdom intact. And at the end of 7 years, his reason returned to him. He put clothes back on. He came back and became king. And Nebuchadnezzar wrote the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. And he wrote about all of this. The only time a pagan person has written a chapter in the Bible, he wrote Daniel chapter 4. And he ends it by saying, now I know that God in heaven rules over the affairs of man and puts the basest of people over it. And the last verse in Daniel chapter 4 has got to be one of the strongest words in the whole Bible. Nebuchadnezzar said, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Boy, what an understatement. And you know what? It's Nebuchadnezzar, yes, did some things. He fought battles. He built buildings. He planned. But you know what? It was God that gave him that opportunity. It was God that raised him up to bring judgment on his people because they had forsaken him. And when he got to thinking that he was doing it, it was arrogance. And there's a lot of faith people. And I'm not against faith people. I am a faith person. But there are a lot of faith people that get to focusing on what they must do. And they literally are thinking that they're the ones that made this happen. Look what their faith has built. Look what they have done. Faith only appropriates. Now, get this. This took me 20 years to learn this. This may not sound that profound to you, but this changed my life. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. If God hasn't provided it for you by His grace, your faith can't get it. Therefore, this whole phrase that you often hear in the church about, well, faith moves God, I believe is inaccurate. God doesn't need to move. God, by grace, moved before you ever existed, before you ever had a problem, before you ever had a need. God had created the supply for that need. God, by grace, had already provided salvation, healing, deliverance. Everything that you need is already pre-provided through grace. And all faith does is reach out and take what God has already provided. It doesn't make God provide something. For instance, if you need to be forgiven of your sins, when you come and you say, "Oh, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life." Jesus doesn't die for you and provide salvation for you and respond to your prayer and then go get you saved. No, by His stripes, you've already been healed. You've already been forgiven of all of your sins. Everything is already provided, and it's just like He set the table. Here it all is in front of you. Now, are you going to reach out and take it and say thank you, or are you going to sit there and continue to beg God to do something? God has already done it. God's already provided everything that you will ever need. All faith does is reach out and take what God has already provided. It does not make God provide anything. Boy, that's major. Let me share this scripture with you out of Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Now, this is a powerful passage of scripture, and I often teach on Mark chapter 11, verse 23, but most of the time we don't go into verse 24. But here's Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And then verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now that's a powerful passage. Whatsoever things you desire. What does whatsoever mean? Well, basically, that doesn't put any limitations on it. So, does this mean that if you desired to win the lottery, that's something that you desire? If you pray and believe that you receive when you pray, you will have it? I've heard people take this verse and use it that way to try and rig the lottery and make it work. You know, I can just see some of you right now all around the world that you have prayed this verse trying to win the lottery. You can't win the lottery with this. Somebody said, "Well, that's a whatsoever." Well, let me use another whatsoever. What if you wanted to rob a bank? What if you took this verse and says, "You know what? I believe, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I'm going to steal $1 million and I will not get caught because that's what I desire and I confess it with my mouth and believe it in my heart and I receive it." Can you use this verse to rob a bank and get away with it without being caught? Most of you would just say no. Well, why not? Isn't that a whatsoever? You know, you need to think through some of these things. Why can't you win the lottery? Why can't you rob a bank? Or here's an actual example that I dealt with. I grew up in Arlington, Texas, and when we first got really turned on to the faith movement, again, there was abuses on this side, and there was a woman who started a Bible college, and what she desired was for Kenneth Copeland to be her husband. And, of course, Kenneth Copeland was married to Gloria Copeland, and so the way she dealt with that, she desired that Gloria die, and she just cursed Gloria, commanded Gloria to die, and was waiting on Gloria to die so she could marry Kenneth. And as an expression of her faith, she actually got her Bible school together. She got a wedding dress. She had a wedding ceremony where she married Kenneth Copeland in the spirit. Now, he wasn't there, but she went through just like he was there and in the spirit married Kenneth Copeland and then just waited on Gloria Copeland to die based on Mark 11, 24. And some of you are saying, "You can't do that." Why not? It says whatsoever things you desire. Why can't you do it? Now, see, if you're of this mindset that faith moves God, that you can make God do something, you can confess that I'm going to rob a bank and get by with $1 million and I will not get caught. I will be able to curse this person and have them die and marry their mate. Why can't you do things like that? Here's the answer. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. If God hasn't provided thievery, robbery for you in what He has accomplished through grace, faith can't make it happen. God's not going to be intimidated by your faith and have to do what you believe Him for. God did not provide murder and adultery in the atonement of Jesus. And so your faith, I don't care how much you confess it or how hardly you believe, you cannot make God kill a person and marry their mate because Jesus didn't provide those things for you. Boy, that is powerful to me. So see, faith only reaches out and appropriates what God has already provided. Here's another way of saying it, that faith is only a positive response to what God has already done by grace. And if He's already done it, then see, it takes the effort out of faith. As long as you think that faith is something you are doing to gain a response from God, if I'll go to church, if I'll pray, if I'll study the Word, if I'll live holy, if I'll do these things, then I know God is going to do this. Boy, that puts huge burden, huge responsibility upon you. It's a burden that none of you will be able to bear because we all fail and we come short. You just can't live that way. And yet that's what most people think faith is. Faith is something. I'm going to confess 500 times that by His stripes I'm healed. And I don't know why God didn't answer the first time I did it, but I'm going to just stay after Him and badger God until God gives me what I want. There's a lot of people that's the exact attitude they have, because they believe that their faith makes God move. God moved before you and I ever existed. The way that God provided everything for us was through Jesus. Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago before you and I were alive, before you and I had lived holy or unholy, before we had ever made a request, before we ever had a need. God, because He is God, was able to anticipate, or I guess that's the right word, anticipate, or anyway, foresee all of the needs of the human race, all of our individual needs, and He supplied your need before you ever had the need. God has already done everything. By His stripes, the whole world has been healed. All sickness has been destroyed. All sin has been forgiven. All prosperity that you or I will ever need has already been accomplished. The power is generated. You are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you to have a positive response to what you believe has already been provided. He's waiting on you to reach out and appropriate what has already been done. And see, when you look at it this way, it takes the struggle out of it. No longer do I have the burden of making God move. I just find out what He's already provided, and then I start resting in it and trusting it and receiving it. You know, I could use another example here, this television. Some of you are watching television because you have a cable hookup in your home. Others are receiving it off of VHS. Some of you might be receiving UHF. Some of you are getting it directly from a satellite. But you know, wherever you are right now, there are television signals in your house, wherever you are, in your office, wherever. There are television signals right there. And if you say, no, there aren't, why? Because you can't see them? No, they're there. And when you take a television set and plug it in and turn it on and tune it in, the television set is not originating the signal. All the television set does is take what is already there and just puts it into a format, rebroadcast it so that you can see and hear it. But the television set doesn't originate a signal. The station is already broadcasting. If you see or hear nothing, of course you're watching my program right now, but if you weren't watching television, even if you had it off, the signal, my message would still be coming into your home. But if you had your set off, you wouldn't be able to hear it or see it. See, all that set does is take what is already there and put it into a realm that we can receive it. It really helps me to understand that when I need a healing in my body, I don't have to beg God. I don't have to do everything just right and start going to church and pay my tithes and study the Word and live holy enough that God will respond to me and heal me. If there is any delay in what you're believing for, and if you believe like I just described, then what's going to happen is you're immediately going to think, oh, I'm not doing enough. I failed. You will become susceptible to all types of criticism, condemnation, and you won't doubt that God has the power, but you'll just be convinced, well, I must not have done everything right. And you won't have any confidence that God's going to answer your prayer because your own conscience will condemn you. But see, if you understand that God by grace has already provided it, how can you not get something that has already been provided? The only way you wouldn't get it is if you doubt. But if you understand that God by grace has already provided everything through Jesus, and I don't have to make God do something, what I've got to do is stand against my own doubt and a lot of religious teaching that has been taught me that I have to earn it and I have to be worthy of it and holy enough for God to move in my life. It takes effort on my part, but not to make God move. It takes effort to get my old religious thinking out of the way, my stinking thinking, so that I can begin to start receiving from God. It's like I've got a pipe and this life of God wants to flow through it, but the thing is clogged up and I've got to unclog it. I'm not trying to drill a well and make the life-giving water come. It's already there. I know that it's in the pipeline, but I've just got so much confused thinking that I have to renew my mind and get rid of those things so that the goodness that God has already provided by grace, I can receive it. And so for that reason, I do have to spend time in the Word. But God doesn't look at the amount of Bible study I have, and when I hit a certain level, He says, oh man, now you've done so much, I'll bless you. Now you can be healed. Now you can be prospered. No, the truth is God gave all of that to me by grace. But as long as I was ignorant of it, as long as I was thinking like I've been countering all of this last week, that God sovereignly put this on me, that it was God's will, I wasn't resisting the devil. Until I get rid of that stinking thinking, then that's clogging up this pipe. It's keeping the power of God from flowing. You know, I've used this example often, but if you could imagine a pipe up above my head, and over on one side is like the Holy Spirit, it's like water, and then on the other side is the spout where it comes out. Your soul, your mind, the way you think is like the valve. And you can have your mind so crossways to the things of God, it's like a valve that shuts the flow of God's Spirit. So that over here, as far as we can see from our standpoint, there's not a drop of God coming out of us. But the truth is, inside of every one of us, we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's all in here, but it's got to come through your mind. And if you are thinking wrong, you will stop the power of God. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're thinking incorrectly, it stops the flow of God. And some of that incorrect thinking is this abuse of talking about faith to where you think your faith is making God move. You think that through faith you can confess something, and if you doubt not in your heart but believe that you have it, well then God's got to do it. God is not responding to your faith. Your faith should be a positive response to God. Those are two opposite things. And somebody might say, well, what's the difference? Either way, I've still got to study the Word. I got to pray. I got to seek God. Well, there's a huge difference. The motive behind what you are doing is more important than what you're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 says, if I give all of my goods to feed the poor, or if I give my body to be burned, and don't do it by charity, God's kind of love, it profits you nothing. The motive you do something in is more important than what you do. And if you are studying the Word to make God move instead of studying the Word to find out what He's already done and renew your mind, then your motive is wrong. You are now trying to force God to do something, and God is not going to be responding to any of us. You ought to praise God for that. If God gave us what we deserved, we'd be in a heap of trouble. Praise God for grace, and you appropriate God's grace through faith. You know, I've got a lot more to share on this, and I'm going to continue on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. But also, I've got materials. I've got this brand new hardcover book. I've got a study guide that goes with it, CDs, and two DVD sets talking about this very thing. Listen to our announcer as he gives you this information, and call or write today.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled Grace Through Faith is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA24C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I believe that many of you are being blessed by this. Boy, it's just ministering to you. You're seeing truth, and truth sets you free. And you know, I'm trying to get this out to as many people as possible. We now have 2.2 billion people in the world that can receive this program. But you know, there are just so many more to reach, and we need multiple broadcasts per day. Not everybody's able to listen early in the morning, which is primarily when we're on. And so we just need a lot of people to help us. If you've been blessed by this program, if you would like to help us take these truths and see other people set free, we have a telephone number on your screen. I'd like to encourage you to call it. We have different partnership levels. You get things in exchange for your partnership. So please pray about it and then call that number and become a partner today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.